Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to Impact Hiring Solutions with Brad Remillard and Barry Deutsch, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Brad Remillard coming to you with my partner, Barry Deutsch. You're listening to Impact Hiring Solutions. Impact Hiring Solutions is a retained executive search firm and best practices company. Our show is single-focused for the most part. We talk about primarily just hiring and two aspects of that hiring we focused on. One is the aspect of from a candidate's perspective, meaning that if you're looking for a job, interviewing questions, problems with an interview, where to find that job, best practices, what have you, we talk about that. We also cover a lot of topics from the hiring manager side. How can you attract, hire, and retain your best talent? So every Monday from 11 to noon, those are the topics. If you're a hiring manager, a candidate, chances are we're going to have a radio show and talk about things that are of interest to you. If you'd like, you can also participate. You can call us and be right during the show at any time at 818-602-4929. And you can give us that call. And if you call us, be aware that you have to call from an unblocked number. If your number is blocked, you're going to have to hit star 82. Before dialing the 818-602-4929. We cannot accept blocked calls. You'll generally get a recording telling you all the lines are busy. They're not. It's just that you've got a blocked call. So hang up. Call us back at with star 82. If, on the other hand, you're shy, maybe you're sitting at a place where you can't call, it's noisy, maybe you're at work and you have a question, you can email us, and we'll get your email on the phone on the radio show today. Email us at info@impacthiringsolutions.com. info@impacthiringsolutions.com. They'll come to us, and we'll try our best to get them on the show. But either way, we'll try and get you involved in the show if you'd like to be a part of it. Today, we're talking primarily from a hiring manager perspective. Our guest today is Dana Barocca. Dana is the CEO of an organization called Lighthouse Consulting. Lighthouse Consulting provides in-depth work style, personality assessments, integrity, honesty assessments for companies, hiring managers to use to basically get a feel for how this potential candidate will fit culturally into that organization. Dana has an undergraduate degree in human behavior and a master's degree in clinical psychology. He's a well-known speaker on the Vistage International, with Vistage International, a group of CEOs and peers, where he talks about work styles and this personality assessment. He and his wife, Ellen, have also written a book, Cracking the Personality Code, which is available on his website, and we'll talk more about that. Dana, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me today.
Good. Glad you could be with us. I guess maybe just kind of the best place to start is give us an overview of what a work style personality assessment is. There's lots of them on the market. Maybe tell us a little bit about the one that you use. I believe it's called the 16PF. Tell us a little bit about that and let our listeners know at least just some background.
There's thousands of profiles to choose from globally. There's a couple key criteria I think people want to look for when selecting a profile and who's doing the interpretation. Because it's a very complex subject, I think, that you've run across, Brad, and Barry also, over the years. First of all, want to make sure that the person that's doing the interpreting is well-trained and getting good data is important. Having interpreted, it's kind of like going and getting an MRI in a sense. You want to make sure you're getting good data. Someone could look at an X-ray or an MRI and go, oh my gosh, I've got this terrible disease, and actually it's just a bone. So having a discussion is important. So I think also you want to make sure that whoever's doing the testing is supplied with not only a job description, but a copy of the resume, because the debrief is one of the most important things that can take place. So a profile needs to have a minimum of 164 questions in it. There are certainly profiles like Myers-Briggs.
Dana, before you get too technical, tell us what you're doing and what your profile is a little bit, and an overview of just the work styles and personality assessments in general, not necessarily at a detail, but just give us an overview of what they do, why I should take one, what makes your profile different.
Reasons for taking it or utilizing it in the hiring process is doing the best interviewing one can do, doing the best reference background checking, and using some form of in-depth work style or personality assessment to validate everything else that is going on. Profiles should not be used to make or break a candidate, but rather for confirmation of what's been identified throughout the hiring process. We happen to use a profile called the 16PF, which stands for 16 Personality Factors. The differences are, if a profile only has 30 questions in it, the odds are it only has 4 scales. The more scales, the better the picture. It's kind of like pixels on a screen. You want to make sure you're getting sufficient pixels or count in order to get a good picture, especially for the hiring activity. If something only has 4 scales, it's good. It may be very good for staff development or team building, not appropriate for new hires coming into an organization.
Dana, you said there were hundreds, and you know, my experience is there could be thousands of these types of tests out there. Why is the assessment test profile that you all use called the 16PF? How is that really different from a lot of the other ones that are out there? Why should people consider even using that one versus, you know, of the laundry list of Personalysis, McQuaig, Wunderlich? I mean, we could go on and on about all these different assessments.
It comes down to the number of scales. And that's a differentiator. You want to have the best picture possible. And going back to something I said earlier, you need to have a minimum of 164 questions. The reason for that is there's a scale called impression management or faking good. And if you don't have that scale, you're not quite sure what's going on inside the person. The reason we like this particular instrument, it was developed by the grandfather of industrial psychological testing back in 1949. It's not a toy. It has well over 200 major clinical studies globally. It can be used in over 72 different languages. It has time underneath it, so as far as EEOC and ADA, it's kind of like a baseline over the years. So you can, I think for hiring, you need to have as much data as possible, and also something that doesn't fatigue the candidate. So a profile, with something that's like 35 to 45 minutes to take, is not going to fatigue a candidate. If it goes to an hour and a half, that could be a problem.
Now, Dana, didn't you once tell me that this test is used by a major governmental agency to judge fairness of other assessments, or it had been in the past?
Yes, it is. It's used in the United States government and other governments around the world, actually, for new hire assessments, for staff development. So it really, truly gets as deep as somebody can within EEOC and ADA, so it's not breaching anything. The only other profile I know that's more thorough is called the MMPI, used for psych evaluation. And that would probably be inappropriate for most organizations unless they're operating a nuclear power plant or carrying armed weapons, but that's not the typical company, I wouldn't think.
I think as a company or as a recruiter, we're legally prohibited from giving psychological examinations. Darn. But this is, as I understand it, one of the next best things to that.
Right.
Dana, tell us a little about... Tell us a little about the accuracy of using this tool in measuring personality tendencies, style, when it's used in the hiring process.
Clinically, an in-depth work style assessment or personality assessment is going to be valid around 74-75% of the data that's found. if someone ever tells you that that a profile is more accurate than that, probably run the other way and ask them for the clinical data. They don't have it. It's not going to happen from statistical studies. Now, with that said, when we're testing teams or doing staff development, I typically ask people, how accurate is this assessment to you? We'll typically hear 90% and above. It's extremely accurate, but from a clinical figure, that 74-75% number is a strong number. It's a good one.
So, Dan, what you call it a 16 PF. So what are the 16 areas or 16 characteristics that you actually do the assessment on then?
It looks at warmth, how they reason, if they're more concrete or more conceptual in their thinking, how emotionally stable are they very dominant or more passive, are they lively, rule conscious, how social are they, how are they sensitive or more vigilant, are they going to be very private or more open on the discussions with others, a perfectionist or a little more loosey-goosey in how they deal with tension. So all of those scales combine with being able to look at how someone problem solves, which can help with onboarding someone, understanding how they're going to train or how they're going to acclimate into a position, how they're going to deal with stress if they're going to be short with people or very high tension or a problem to manage, how their leadership style is going to impact themselves and also how they're going to fit into the job description. And the other nice thing is we can actually see how someone processes thoughts. Bradbury, have you ever had individuals work with and you kind of wondered, how are they actually thinking when you're communicating with them and going, everyone's just scratching their head? We can actually see how they're processing information. Are they coming out of the box going, great, let's take that hill, let's make it win-win, and then they need more data as they're going up the hill, and are they going to track it and then do something with it, or are they just going to think about it and just kind of veg out on the data and not move forward? So there's a quite a number of variables that can take place.
So as I hear that, one of the thoughts that comes to mind is there then, if I'm a hiring manager listening to this show now or sometime in the future, is there a certain, I guess two questions, let me just kind of A and a B. A, is there a certain level that should take this, managers, or is it for everybody from a janitor to a CEO, A? And then B, because of some of the things that the 16 areas or characteristics you laid out, is it job specific? And that's a question I get all the time. Should I use a different test for a salesperson than I do an engineer? Two different types of personality. So there's an A and a B for you.
Okay. So the first thing is that probably 5 or 6 years ago, we were being asked just to test supervisors or managers and above. Something happened, and all of a sudden we started to find that it was equal. We were getting equal calls or requests for testing everybody from data entry to a secretary on up to C-level individuals. We even had some requests for testing janitors, and I asked them, why would you test a janitor? And the response was, if a janitor is responsible for setting up a room for meetings and they're not able to communicate and understand what's taking place in a clear, timely way, they may not have a room set up, which then ends up costing the company money. And I thought, wow, that's very insightful and good planning. So I think it depends on the organization, probably all levels at this point, to make sure you get the right person coming in. And Brad, and the second question, could you reframe that or state that again?
The second part was a question I get all the time. Well, does a one-size-fits-all test for every position, or do I need a different type of test for extremes? You take a salesperson, outgoing, creative, versus an engineer, introverted, analytical. Does one test fit all, or do I need more job-specific tests?
The problem with tests that get too job-specific is they're usually missing the full picture of the individual. So you might have a great salesperson. They could also maybe walk out the door with business. You get somebody tested for customer service, but you're not getting the full picture of them. Can they do other things beside that, or can you possibly grow them later on, or other issues that might be going on, because they're just too narrow and limited. So I think that there is, if the profile asks sufficient number of questions, which is a minimum of 164 questions, you get the full picture. It can be used for all positions, as long as the resume and job description are supplied to the testing organization. Then they can give appropriate feedback on what they're seeing.
Okay. Well, let me just remind people, if you just joined us today, I'm Brad Remillard with my partner, Barry Deutsch. You're listening to Impact Hiring Solutions Live on LA Talk Radio, where every Monday from 11 to noon, we talk about candidates finding jobs and hiring managers looking to hire people. You can participate today by calling 818-602-4929, as long as you call from an unblocked number. You can also email us today if you have a question info@impacthiringsolutions.com. And we'll get that, and we'll try our best to get you on the line. Also, we want to let you know that at ImpactHiringSolutions.com, you can download later on a copy or an actual audio. And we're going to make available to you a download from Dana that he calls a Personics Factor Matrix. It's a free download, going to be on our website, and Dana has it on ours. And it's basically a worksheet that there's 8 critical steps in the hiring process, what to look for, things to help you, and then you can rank your people on there, everything from how the resume compares to job description, problem solving, cultural fit, interpersonal interaction. Very good tool that'll be available for you to download free from our website at impacthiringsolutions.com. Our guest today is Dana Barocca from Lighthouse Consulting. They do in-depth work style and personality assessments. Barry, I know that I've seen a couple of emails come in. Why don't we take those emails and see if we can answer a caller's question?
Great. Brad, the first one came in from Julie, who's in Atlanta. She's a vice president of human resources, and Julie's question was, how do I avoid the tendency of candidates who might try to answer the test or the assessment and responses they think I want to hear? She said Dana mentioned something about this thing early in his comments called impression management, and Julie wants to know a little more about what is that exactly.
All righty. Impression management, it has to have a minimum, again, of 164 questions in the profile in order to have a good read on impression management scale. So a simplistic profile will have questions reworded in it, and you can kind of see where people are coming from. With 164 questions, the questions are may appear to be different wording, but actually they'd be connected to 5 different parts of the profile, and you don't know where the question is coming in. So, for instance, if question number 1 is answered with a C response, question number 2 is answered with an A response, it's calibrating all the way through the entire assessment as to what's going on inside the person. So an impression management score is not looking as if the person is lying, but rather it's looking at core wiring to see if they're trying to project out to the rest of the world that they are okay, but underneath they're very, very scared. So an impression management score will go to 0 to 24. Someone has a 0, they usually have some very deep issues going on. Litigation attorneys might be a 4, 5, or 6, so they just don't care who's what they're saying to others. It isn't what it is. Salespeople tend to be on the higher side. When we get above a 22, it's a discussion point because there's a lot of there could be a lot of quirkiness that's coming on, which could impact how their job performance. And so if you try to find out, you ask them a question, they may give a glossy picture of what's taking place versus giving you an actual picture.
Okay. Hope that answered your question, Julie. We know we can use this in hiring. Are there other benefits to this assessment that we can use ongoing or even just in the hiring process? I know you mentioned the job description. Of course, the way we do our search, Dana, we focus on results. Our whole thing is that a job description should not be about a person. It should be about the results you want in that job, and then go out and find somebody who can deliver those results. How does this, either the work assessment, align with that?
Well, an in-depth assessment is looking at thought process. So, for instance, there are some profiles that will have career matching or actually state that someone would be a good salesperson or a good this or that. I think that's an inappropriate use of data. An in-depth assessment will look at the characteristics. So let's say someone has a characteristic of selling or characteristics of being a secretary. Then we're looking at, okay, if the job description is showing, okay, this is the kind of performance we're looking for, do you need somebody fast-paced or more thorough, more detail-oriented, able to deal with stress in order to make those accomplishments? Then all of a sudden that's appropriate use of data to see how that's matching with the personality and what the expectations are. So assessments can only be used for hiring, but also for personnel development, for management, for looking at team dynamics. So if a team is looking a certain way and want to add somebody else into it, how are they going to mesh within it? Or do you want to have a different mix of individuals, bring different perspectives in? It can also be used for conflict resolution and definitely for partnerships. Before a partners sign on the dotted line, they should see how they're going to work together and what the pros and cons might be of the personality mixes.
Excellent. So it sounds like there's a variety of ways the assessment could be used. What I'd like to do is take another question from our audience that came in by email, and this is from Mark, who is a vice president of operations for a company in San Diego. Mark said, I know, Barry and Brad, that you guys do executive search. We've used you before. Do most executive search firms use a tool like this in their search assignments? And Mark, I'd probably say most search firms, and in a moment I'm going to have Dana share his perspective because he's worked with hundreds of companies and search firms, organizations across the country. Most search firms do not use a tool like this. They don't want their clients having this information. Brad and I feel it's absolutely critical for clients in an executive search for a critical role at an executive or a senior management role to be armed with this data, because even if nothing dysfunctional or toxic comes out of the assessment, you will have so much good information to be able to manage them more effectively once they've come aboard. So Brad and I use all sorts of tools, techniques, methods, strategies, and we partner with Dana, for example, because over time we found the 16PF to be one of the most useful tools. Dana, would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes. I should say the major majority of recruitment firms do not want to do any kind of assessment because they, as Barry said, they are very concerned that it might show up something on the candidate and then they'd have to start the search all over again. I would say if a search firm says, ah, that's a lot of baloney, we don't need to do that, I'd run the other way, because it's better to see additional information up front so you can probe further or have ideas of what might come up in the behavior than later on, because that's a very expensive process. Now, there are some recruitment firms, we just ran into this, a global organization, they have their own assessment, and the company retained us separate from them to do an in-depth personality work style assessment. And it was interesting because what we pulled up was completely different from what their data pulled up. They missed a lot of information because they were only asking maybe 30 or 60 questions within the assessment, or maybe 130 questions. They missed some major things that were going on inside the person. Once they probed further, they realized that it validated the concern and it would not have been an appropriate fit.
Okay. Let me follow up with something, Dana. One of the things that I think about and when I talk to my clients, and you can address this, I have, and maybe it's a personal bias for me, but one of the things I like about your test, or your assessment, I guess, not a test, but assessment, is the fact that I like the way it compares. You can take this candidate and you can compare him to those people that have been successful in the organization and what they look like. But equally, I think, as effective, you can compare them to those people that have not been successful. In your opinion and in your experience having done this, what is the value of being able to compare them to the other management team versus, say, those assessments that don't do that, that it's more in a vacuum?
As you know, Brad, it's not, we don't necessarily need to do that, but it's very nice when we do have that data, because then we can actually see where the compliments might be, but also the rubs. And if someone has failed in the past, and we happen to have that data, because maybe someone didn't work out so well in that one department, they moved them somewhere else because they didn't want to remove them from the organization, then they're able to say, okay, here's what we need, and we need to make sure we come as close to that as possible, or at least understand how to manage those individuals. What we're seeing today and moving forward from a management standpoint is, in the good old days, people used to be more dictatorial, more autocratic, how they manage individuals. Where moving forward, it's more, how do you get the best out of the individual? And that means understanding where they're coming from to put them in the right seat up front, and then understanding how to manage them. More data, better opportunity than to get the best out of someone.
Do you think that it's valuable to compare to both those that have been successful and not been successful in the organization? Is there information that can be gleaned from the assessment?
I think it can be very, very helpful to be able to see someone that really made it and someone that didn't. And then comparing that back to having the performance expectations laid out and seeing, why didn't that other person succeed? It goes back to, if someone's very slow and process-oriented and they're being put into a very fast-paced environment, whose fault is that if they fail? Well, they already know the expectations, what they want out of it, and if they're putting the wrong person in the wrong seat, it's very, very costly to do it. So, again, having information from the work style assessment can help to understand that further, and then see, and then measure how other people have done or haven't done in the past.
Okay, Barry may have a question from another caller.
Another question. Yep. This came from Paul, who's an operations manager in Chicago. Paul said, at what stage should I give the test or the assessment? Should I give it or use it as sort of a make or break final hurdle that the candidate has to get over? And Dana, before you respond to that, I'd like to offer, kind of as an executive recruiter, a little bit of the perspective that Brad and I have on how to determine whether someone could be successful in a role. And we sort of look at this from a recruiting perspective as there are three key gates or hurdles people have to get through. Hurdle number one is, can they do the job? Can they achieve the success, outcomes, deliverables, results that you need delivered in the job? That's the first thing you got to measure. And there's no substitute for using our methodology, which we call a success factor methodology, and within that, the success factor snapshot. Ton of information on our website. Brad and I have done radio shows. You can download free templates, tools, examples, illustrations in that free resources section under the Hiring Manager tab on our website. Once you've determined that they can deliver the results you're looking for, the next step is to figure out what are the dysfunctional and toxic elements of their personality that almost everybody has. You know, Dan, I was remarking to a client the other day that I had read an article in Psychology Today that something like 83% of the U.S. population had one or two of the five major psychological dysfunctions. Now, I just made that up, of course. I'm sure you found that somewhat funny. But the reality is, everybody's got this stuff. The key is to figure out what it is, and it's almost impossible to do in just the interview. So the question, again, I come back to that Paul raised is, when in this whole interview assessment process should I use this assessment to figure out, is there something wrong with someone?
What we suggest is just before the final face-to-face interview and pre-reference background checking. Now, the reason for that is it gives the opportunity then to gather more data to know where to probe further as far as the interview process in case something got missed or overlooked. assuming there's no major red flags, it gives ideas then of how to manage that person to get the best out of them. Also, by reviewing the data, you also can gain ideas of what questions to ask and where to probe for reference background checking.
Okay. I just want to remind everyone again that if you just joined us, I'm Brad Rumelard. I'm here with my partner, Barry Deutsch. You're listening to Impact Hiring Solutions Live, coming to you every Monday from 11 to noon on LA Talk Radio. I want to remind you that on our website at impacthiringsolutions.com, we have an enormous and wealth of information available, absolutely free for you to download. You can download those job descriptions. We call them success factor snapshots, and they're free. That will align with the job that our guest is talking about. We have a cultural assessment for you to do that will help define your culture that you can align with this assessment. We offer a lot of free resources. Just go to our tab at the top called Free, click Hiring Managers, or you can also at the bottom of our homepage, impacthiringsolutions.com, look at what's new, and you'll see those links right there. We provide a wealth of information. Not only that, we have all these radio shows. All of our audio shows are available in our library for anyone to download, listen to, play later. We talk about the five core questions to ask in an interview. We talked about how to leverage social media to find candidates. We've talked about the should you use HR as an outsourcing technique. So there's a wealth of information from the success factor snapshots. We call them job descriptions because they outline what defines success in the job and how then a company like Dana at Lighthouse Consulting uses those to ensure that the candidate is aligned, their personality is aligned with the results that you want to deliver once they come on board. All of the experience they have in the past is great. But come day one, you don't give a rip about their experience anymore. You only care about one thing, is that can they deliver the results I'm looking for, and can this candidate do it in our culture, our management style, our resources, and will they align that together? So you take that success factor, align it with the work style assessment, and you have a pretty powerful tool to do that. I want to talk about one more thing, Dana. We're offering a free download of this Personics Factor Matrix that you provide people. Tell our guests, our listeners, a little bit about that, because it's going to be downloaded for free on our website at Impact Hiring Solutions, and how they can use that Personics Factor Matrix once they do download it from our website.
It's a wonderful tool for looking at candidates. So you put their name in there and the title, and you go through the critical steps. We have to have eight of them. So you can compare the person's resume against the job description, and then what are you looking for? Let's say you're looking for hiring evidence that they've actually done this work. So you could rate them with a high, medium, or low. And then as you're working, let's say they do match up pretty well, you can determine if their personality is the right type for the fit, going back to high, medium, low, and going back to the example earlier, if someone's needed to be very fast-paced and they're kind of very methodical on how they do things, is that going to work? And we also look at assessing their problem solving, how are they going to deal with problem solving, and getting a picture of their strengths for problem solving or working through things. Most of the issues today are problem solving, no matter if it's at whatever level of customer service it is, or shipping or receiving or senior level. People have to be able to problem solve, and how they go about doing that, want to see if that's going to match up with how your process works within your organization. You can also do career matching. Are their thoughts matching up with what you're looking for? We often get asked by different groups, who is the perfect salesperson? and I was giving a group to CEOs, and the owner or CEO of a large national insurance organization said, raised their hand and said, there isn't the perfect salesperson, but you need to know what the personality is for who they're calling on within certain parts of the country. So his example was, you'd need a certain type of salesperson in Oregon or in Washington compared to New York or Florida or Northern and Southern California. So it goes back to understanding the personality type and their style of, are they going to fit into that marketplace?
And you're saying this Personics Factor Matrix that we're going to let people download for free from the website helps them do that? And how can they use this? I mean, what's the value of this tool that if I download this, I can use instantly? Let's make sure people understand what they get.
The value is it's getting more information in a simplistic way to dissect a little bit further the candidate that is about to come into the organization to see how close they're fitting into what your needs are, which goes back to what Brad was talking about, fulfilling expectations. So it's just looking at more gradations. And if they've done the process you talked about earlier, Barry and Brad, for onboarding someone and understanding using the eight-factor process, then using this on top of that, it will just help to get a better picture for probing further for the interview process and how to manage that person to get the best out of them. So if you know somebody's strengths ahead of time, that's great. But we also need to know their weaknesses. Not everything's always rosy.
Dana, that's great. Thank you. We are also going to make Dana's book available through our store. Brad mentioned this a couple of times in our program so far, but not only do we have an extensive library of free resources, examples of success factor snapshots, a cultural assessment. We've taken every radio show that Brad and I have done, and we've put those up in an archive so that you can download those. You can pull them off of iTunes. You can listen to them in your car while you're driving. And there's a wealth of other free resources. I would urge everyone to go and review that section of our website. In addition to that, we have taken our workshops, content, material, and created a series of products and services that would allow you to implement the different phases and steps of the success factor methodology. It includes our book, tape, video, workbooks, templates, a whole wealth of information. Dana, as Brad mentioned, has recently written a book on the subject of using personality assessments. We're going to make his book available on our website, and there'll be a discount for receiving that book. You'll be able to get that discount within the next 24 to 48 hours. We'll have the book up on our website, and all you have to do to get the book at a little bit of a discount is type LA Talk Radio as the coupon code. Again, LA Talk Radio. Brad, what I'd like to do at this point, I know we're coming almost up on the end of our program. I'd like to take one last question from our audience that's been listening to us. This question comes from Susan. Susan mentioned, Dana, in your experience, what are the top three personality, style, issues, reasons that people tend to fail in their job? What causes them to fail?
Not understanding how to problem solve, and so catching on to what the need is from the customer or the client. The second would be not handling other staff members or clients appropriately, so they're very reactive from a stress standpoint. And the third is having tunnel vision. Seeing what they want, but not having the empathy to understand what the other person needs. Well, I think those are the three key things that come up, three key issues.
So just to summarize then, one was lack of empathy, which was the last one you mentioned. One was stress level that may affect their behavior and how they deal with others. And then could you remind, the first one was how they actually problem solve.
They're not necessarily understanding what they're being asked to do. So let's take an administrative assistant, for instance. The key executive comes in, downloads all this stuff very quickly. They misunderstand what the key executive needs. They need something by 2 o'clock for a big client meeting, and they come marching in looking for it, and they've been given information that is incorrect, imprecise, and not what the client what they need to take to the client. That's a very costly error.
Okay, so what? How do I then use that data to benefit my assistant in communication? How do I take that assistant and make her better then?
Couple things. One is knowing who you have coming aboard ahead of time, but having sufficient data, using an in-depth work style personality assessment to make sure they'll be successful in the position. Let's say they're already there. By having additional data to see how they're processing their thoughts, how they receive information, how they problem solve, then the key executive then would know how to interact with the person and how to give them information so they will get it the first time. That all comes back to managing in a way to the person, for the manager to understand where they're coming from. Only way to assess that is to either get to know the person pretty well by asking them a whole bunch of questions, or using some type of work style assessment to understand how they're naturally wired and then managing them accordingly.
So what's the best way then for, we've talked a little bit about your book and we only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, so I want to talk about what's the best way for a hiring manager to integrate the book, Cracking the Personality Code, and I'm sure that's available on your website, it's available on Amazon and all the different sites. It'll be available, as Barry said, on our website, ImpactHiringSolutions.com, with a discount. What's the best way to integrate Cracking the Personality Code book with the assessment? If I get the book, do I need the assessment, or do I need the assessment and not the book?
Reading the book is a wonder. It's a wonderful handbook, and I want to thank you and you and Barry for providing a chapter on hiring effectively in it. The book identifies how do you use work style assessments appropriately. How do you manage and lead individuals and get the ingenuity out of people that are working for you, how to manage and coach people, and the do's and don'ts for dealing with difficult individuals. So the book is a wonderful handbook that you can keep on your desk, and most people that purchase it, they keep it nearby. The feedback we've gotten is that once people read the book, they want to take or have the experience of taking a truly in-depth work style and personality assessment and not a simplistic profile, because they want to get the true value and richness out of data in order to hire appropriately and how to manage appropriately, and also to get some insight on themselves on how they're managing and dealing with people.
Okay. Data, before we end up, we have one more question. We got about 3 minutes left. We got one more question from our studio audience or emailed into us. So, Barry, you want to let us know what that is?
This last question comes to us along the dimension of, and I'll just read the question verbatim here. Dana, do you have an example of where a company has ignored the information that came out on the 16PF? Because in the past, we found some of our hiring managers actually do this. They ignore the data that comes back from a personality assessment, and it's come back to bite them or hurt them. Do you have a good example of that?
We typically hear that. People might ignore it, and they'll go, oh, we are fully aware of that ahead of time. And we ignored it, and it usually comes back to some form of high impression management. There's a quirkiness that they were going to tolerate, that it was just too much. Or an example, I think Barry and Brad, you're very familiar with. There was an organization that was hiring an accounting manager for the very first time. It was a family-run operation, about $18 million. They looked at the resume. They gave a simplistic personality assessment. They're ready to move forward. The Vistage chair said, you need to do something more in depth here just to make sure you're getting the right person in the seat. We tested very quickly. I was the one that made the phone call. There were some major red flags that came up, and my first question out of their mouth was, did you do a reference background check on this individual? And the response was, no, they have a great resume. So we suggested to go back to their HR consultant, have the person sign off whatever they needed to do for reference background checking. They started the process. In the meantime, we gave them an honesty test, which they ended up failing. 5 days later, the background reference checks come back. There was fudging on the resume. There was all sorts of adverse information that came back from their financial background. And that all came down to doing the reference background checking, but also applying to profiles, where before they used a simplistic assessment, which didn't give a full picture of the individual. And if they had moved forward, they would have had a lot of problems.
Okay. Dana, we're out of time here. Why don't you let our audience know how to get in touch with you, your website, where they can get a copy of your book, if they want to get it directly from you, a little bit more about the Personics Matrix. But you got about a minute, so take your time, but get it done in a minute.
If you'd like to give us a call, there you go, 310-453-6556. I'm at extension 403. That's Erica 310-453-6556, extension 403. Or you can go to our website at www.lighthouseconsulting.com. It's lighthouseconsulting.com, and you can take a look at our book, get downloads there for the Personics Matrix, sign up for our publication, Keeping on Track. You can also go on crackingthepersonalitycode.com and get additional information there, too.
Well, great. I think that's been great information today. Dana, I want to thank you for being our guest. I want to thank you for making your Personics Matrix available for free to download and making your book available to those that come back and at ImpactHiringSolutions.com or LighthouseConsulting.com. Thank you for being our guest today, Dana, and look forward to continuing to work with you. We've done a lot of work with Dana, and we look forward to continuing to work with you. Thanks for being here today, Dana. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Take care. So let's, in the last couple of minutes, let's just wrap up by saying this is Impact Hiring Solutions, and we want to make sure you are aware that, as we've said before, Dana's book will be available. All you got to do is come to our website, go to our products page, and you can get a discount by simply adding the code LA Talk Radio, and you'll get a discount from that. That's on cracking the personality code. We will also make available to you his matrix to help determine if the people you're looking for align with 8 different characteristics in the hiring process. This is free. It's a ranking system you can use for that, and I think it's something that adds a lot of value, and it'll be free on our website to download at ImpactHiringSolutions.com. You can also download these additional radio shows. You can also download our free cultural assessment. We just provide a wealth of information for our companies. This Friday, for example, we have a webinar on the advanced interviewing. We're going to take and we're going to allow and talk about advanced interviewing. What is the difference and how can you help your hiring managers get through an interview? Most hiring managers aren't even trained on interviewing. Few even have attended a course, and most people just ask the questions they've been asked in interviewing for perpetuity. And so this Friday, check on our website. We talk about our webinars coming up for advanced interviewing and our hiring process. Next week, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about, from a candidate's perspective, we're going to talk about all the interviewing mistakes candidates make and what they have to do to properly prepare so that the hiring manager gets the best information and can make the best decision. We've talked today about how they can align personality, but if a hiring manager doesn't do a good job of interviewing, candidate doesn't do a good job of interviewing, it all falls apart. And it's up to that candidate to be able to accurately, thoroughly, and succinctly be able to answer those questions so that hiring manager gets the right information, can determine their ability to do the job, and then align that with the job. And we find most candidates fail miserably at this one step of interviewing, and that's why most never get past the interview. They've done something critical and made a critical mistake in the interviewing process. And we're going to cover that next week. It's also extensively in our book. This is not the position I accepted. We have a whole track on that. So next week, we'll talk to you 11:50 every Monday from 11 to noon on LA Talk Radio, Impact Hiring Live with Brad Remillard and Barry Deutsch. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week at 11:50 on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Impact Hiring Solutions with Brad Remillard and Barry Deutsch. Only on LA Talk Radio.